Welcome once again to Every Nation Church Malaysia in this Easter weekend. Wow, look at this. We are full house, okay? So I know some of you are standing here outside. We thank you for being understanding. We thank you that if you have brought a friend, do connect with us, introduce to one of our pastors here. We would love to kind of connect with you, all right? So thank you. Thank you. You know, this Easter, the theme of this Easter weekend is called No Freedom Like This. Say, no freedom like this. As I thought about Easter weekend, it's really one of the most significant events in history. The celebration of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most greatest events in history. In fact, it's so significant that it split time into two. Right? Before Jesus Christ walked on earth, the years is known as BC, before Christ. And today we are living in 2025, year of the Lord. 2,000 over years after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this weekend, Christians all over the world, in fact, more than one-third of the world's population, it's celebrating this Easter. Without Easter, without the death and resurrection of Christ, there is no Christianity, right? We wouldn't be sitting here. When we come here every weekend to worship God, it is useless if there is no resurrection of Christ. More importantly, if there is no resurrection of Christ, you and I, we are still in our sins. We are still separated from God. We are still eternally without hope, without Easter. Now, to help us kind of understand the connection between Easter and the freedom that God has for us, I want to tell a story that happens 3,000 years ago. Wow, that talks about history, right? This happens about 900 BC. And in that time, the nation of Israel has already been separated into two. The northern kingdom, which the capital city is in Samaria, and the southern kingdom named Judah, whereby the capital city is in Jerusalem. So this story takes place in Samaria, in the northern kingdom. And the time where the kings were mostly bad. 20 kings of northern kingdom of Israel, they were mostly bad. In fact, all of them were bad, all of them were evil, all of them were doing things that is right in their own eyes. So God brought about, God allowed judgment, God allowed enemies to oppress them. So this is one of the stories. And they were having severe famine, no food, starving, and they were under attack by the Syrian army under the king Ben-Hadad. And one of the common war tactics in those days and even till modern day history was, instead of when you attack a city, which is fortified by the city walls, instead of coming head on battle with them, they would rather surround the city with their armies and to cut off any form of food supplies in and out. So that is exactly what the Syrian army did. They already know there is a famine, so they decide to besiege the city, surround the city, camp around the city, and just wait. Cut off all kind of food and supplies, water supplies. Two things will happen. Number one, the enemy will get so weak and they will surrender to the attacking army. Or number two, eventually they will be so weak and without food inside that when eventually they were to attack the city, it will be taken over without much resistance. It's better tactic that way because you do not lose your own soldiers, you do not lose your own army by engaging in direct battle. So that was exactly what happened. It was a very dire situation, a very desperate situation for the nation of Israel. In fact, in chapter 6, it says that the famine was so great that people were selling donkey's head for about 1,500 to 1,800 ringgit for donkey's head. I don't know what you're going to do with it, okay? Soup? I don't know. But it was so desperate. A bowl of Dove's poop is being sold for around 200 ringgit. Okay, that's all found in chapter 6. Wow. Who would? It would be so desperate for people to buy those kind of food. And even there were people resorting to eating their children, cannibalism. And I assume that it was children who has already passed away. So the king found out, and the king was so angry, the king was so grieved in his heart, and this king blamed God, okay, for everything that is happening in his city. He was angry and he wanted to kill the prophet of God, which is Elisha. And he sent his official himself to kind of confront Elisha. And this is where the story picked up in chapter 7. So Elisha, being the prophet of God, knew that they were coming. And this is what he said. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord." And he says, "Tomorrow at this time," he says, 24 hours from now, "there will be abundance of food. And food prices will drop drastically. Flour and barley will be sold at just cents, few ringgits. And overnight, 24 hours, there will be no more famine. Instead of paying such a high price for food, food will be such in abundance," Elisha was saying. Obviously, the officials, the captain, did not believe Elisha. In fact, he mocked at Elisha. He says, "If the Lord himself should make windows in the heaven and essentially throw down food, how could this be?" So he questioned, he doubted the word of God, the word of Elisha. And Elisha replied, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." And then the story panned from that conversation, panned to the gate of the city to four lepers. So imagine you're watching a movie here, you watch the conversation, and then the next scene, it goes into the outskirt of the city, the gate, to these four lepers. Say, four lepers. So let me read. "Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate." Pause. Now lepers, those days, are considered outcasts of the society. They are considered spiritually cursed to have all this serious skin disease, which is contagious, and over time their fingers will fall off, their ears will fall off. That was the extent of leprosy. And wherever they go in the city, they have to shout, "Unclean, unclean," to warn people to stay away. Okay? So that was potentially the original version of social distancing. So they had to be outcasts and they cannot be in the city. That's why they are at the gate, at the side of the city. Why the gate? Because the gate is where people normally throw trash and leftover foods. And there were kind of like, there was like scavengers, and they will kind of eat whatever that is being thrown out. But people inside are eating donkey's head and dove's poop. There is not much food left over at the gate. And they were too starving, and they were too dying. And then they said to one another, okay, four of them, they were hanging out there, no food, and they asked themselves, "Why are we sitting here until we die?" Okay, one of them asked a very logical question. Why are we sitting here until we die? And then they had a logical deduction conversation. Okay, he says, "If we enter the city, there's a famine in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here and do nothing, we shall also die." Okay, pause. That's a little bit parallel to our spiritual state. Human being, we are dead in our sin, in one sense, right? All of us, the Bible says, all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short to the standard of God. All of us. We don't need to teach children how to lie, how to throw tantrum, how to be selfish. Why? Because we are all born with that sinful nature. Imagine with me if our world has no rules, no laws, no rules, and there is no consequences of whatever that we do. Do you think the world would be a better place or a worse place? Worse, right? If the world was left to ourselves because of that sinful nature in our hearts, guess what? We will surely die eternally separated from God if nothing is being done. Okay, they did something. And today, as we celebrate Easter, it's really to remember that Jesus Christ has done something for us so that we do not have to spiritually die. So they continue back to the story. He says, "Now, come." Okay, we go to the city, we die, we stay here, we die. "Come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. maybe, just maybe, they will spare our lives and we shall live. And if they choose to kill us, we shall also die. But they were saying that, but at least there is a chance, okay? There's a 0.1% chance that they will spare us and we shall live. And four of them decided to take that step of faith. Verse 5, so they arose at twilight. Okay, so it was evening, it was dark already. They decided to go in the dark. Okay, maybe they figure out it's better because the arrows will not be shot at them. So they arose at twilight and they will go into the camp of the Syrians. So imagine with me, four of them, they were walking slowly, making their way out of the gate into the wilderness, approaching the camp. It was dark, but they could see fires in the burning in their tent, making their fireplace. They could smell potentially the smell of food, but there was no sound. They were making their way 100 meters away, 50 meters away, and they were bracing themselves to be killed anytime. But guess what? When they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there is no one there. The whole camp was quiet, but the fire still burning. The horses were still around, the donkeys were still around, but there were no one there. Maybe the thought came to their mind. Maybe they will be ambushed. Maybe some of the enemies will be hiding behind the tent and come out and attack them. But there was no one there. They open up the tent. They look around. Nobody there. They open up another tent. There was nobody there as well. Guess what happened? Verse 6. For the Lord has made. Say the word, for the Lord has made. So for the Lord has made that the army of the Assyrians hear sounds of chariots and horses, sound of a great army. So they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired all these other soldiers from Hittites, from Egypt to come and attack us. So they ran away. So they fled away in the twilight, abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was and fled for their lives. So essentially, God has given them the victory. God has given them the breakthrough. God has given them the freedom without the lepers even knowing anything. They didn't even know it. They didn't even do anything to contribute to that victory. God has caused the chaos in their mind. They thought they heard all these soldiers coming. So out of fear, the enemies ran away. The Lord has made. The Lord has given. God has provided a way. What do you think they did? Anyone want to take a guess? What do you think they did? They ate. They drank. They took all that they could. And they did what all of us would have done in their place. So when the lepers came to that camp, they went to the tent and they ate and they drank and they carry off, okay? Not enough that they're just eating and drinking. They were carrying off silver and gold, okay? They're putting it into their pockets. They went on and they hide it, okay? Maybe they hide it under a tree. They say, I'll come back another day. And they went to another tent. They entered another tent and carried off and did the same thing while eating and drinking. Wow, I would have done the same. I would have done the same. You know, go back to the Lord has given them the victory. You know, this Easter, as we celebrate the death and the resurrection, it is indeed God has given us the victory, even without us knowing it, even without us wanting it. You know, the stories in the video, Nick, the guy who had anger issues, the guy who was in gangsterism, the guy who ended up in prison twice. I had lunch with him and his wife, Stephanie, just about a week ago. Just talking to them, and this is years after. He was not looking for God. He was far away from God. He told the wife, you want to go to church? That's up to you. So one day, the wife invited him to a marriage seminar, okay, a Christian marriage seminar. And he told the wife, okay, I'll go. Okay, he's a man of anger issues. He said, I'll go. But if they start speaking about God and Jesus, I am walking out of there and I'm not going to give face. That's what he said. Okay? But God has given us the victory even when we were rejecting, even when we were far away from God. And they were having that dinner, the marriage seminar, and all was great. And there came a time whereby they are supposed to appreciate one another. Okay, they are supposed to thank each other. And then the facilitator told the couple, say, okay, find your respective corner and just take 15, 20 minutes just to thank each other, appreciate each other, just to say encouraging words towards one another. So Nick and Stephanie, the wife, they had no place to go, so they ended up on the stage. Okay, so it was a hall, so they ended up on the stage. So as he was about to do the exercise of sharing encouraging words to the wife, he was overwhelmed with emotion. Suddenly, he has all the flash memories of how he has been angry, verbally abusive, rude to the wife and the kids, and he just started to be overwhelmed with emotion. And he started to sob. Okay, you're talking about a guy who has been to fights, who had knives cut on his forehead, who has been prisoned twice. He couldn't stop crying uncontrollably because God's love is touching him. He couldn't understand it. He says, "What's happening to me?" He was crying and crying. He couldn't even say a word because the Lord has given him that grace and the love that God has transformed him. God has started to move in his heart that night. Everybody has done and they were still crying on stage. Okay, he couldn't even say anything and he couldn't understand it. But since then, there was such openness. And he began to start his journey of knowing God. He began to start his journey of following after Christ. God has done. God has given. God has given us the freedom. Back to the stories of the four lepers. So they were eating, they were drinking, they were stealing and taking stuff, and take, 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 take. And then they came to a realization. They said to one another, we are not doing right. Another version says, what we are doing is not right. This is the day of the good news. Say good news. It says, this is a day of good news and we remain silent. If we wait until morning, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. Say, go and tell. So a realization come upon the four lepers. They look at one another and says, this is not right. People are dying there. People are starving and we are taking everything for ourselves. This is not right. We need to go back and we need to go and tell. Wow. The good news of Easter. It is good news, guys. We celebrate this weekend. It is good news. Standing on this side of history, looking back, it is good news. You think about the stories that was featured in the video, right? The story of Benjamin, the story of Tracy, the story of Suhui, the story of different ones. Think about that. Why would they share their past? Why would they share their shameful, hurtful mistakes and how they were anger and how they were addicted to drinks? Why would they do that in first person? We didn't even blur their video, right? Sometimes you watch news, people, they blur their video so that their identity is not known. But why would they so willingly, so openly share their stories? Why would they? Because of this good news. Maybe, just maybe, they have found the good news of the death and the resurrection of Jesus that was so good that it far surpasses and far outweigh their shame, their hurt, their mistakes, their addiction, their bondage. They have experienced and they have tasted the power, the freedom, the grace, and the love of God. That they think the same. That it is not right for us to remain silent about what God has done in my marriage,
about what God has done in my anger issues, about what God has done in my breaking free of my addiction from alcohol and drugs, and it is not right for me not to tell. Therefore, they tell the good news. You know, some of you friends, people invited you to church. Why? Because they love you. Because they want to share the good news about Easter to you. Paul wrote it this way, Ephesians 2. But because of his great love, say great love. Now, if you read the word but, B-U-T, you will know that something happens in the first part of the passage, which I did not show here. But basically, the earlier few verses were speaking about how we were far away from God, how we were rejecting God, how we were objects of God's wrath, right? Because of sin, God is holy. We are not because of sin. And there is punishment, and the wages of sin is death. And we were objects of God's wrath. But, okay, I like this word, but, especially in the Bible. Because but negates, cancel out everything that was before. Okay, cancel out everything that was before. And some of you are like me, you know, we used to watch some reality shows that involve singing competition, right? And the judges will be saying, okay, you know, this is bad, you know, out, you can't go to the next round, it's a no for me. But when this particular judge who is critical, who is serious, and he will say, well, your voice is a little bit pitchy, but your choice of song is a little bit of a suspect. But the moment when he say, but, the crowd will start to cheer because they know when he says but, it cancels out what he say and it's going to be good news. But I like your story, but I like your heart. I'm going to say yes, and you're going through to the next round. That little but changes everything. What more? When God says, but, we were once far away. We were rejecting God. We were objects of God's wrath. But because of His great love for us, good news that God loves you. Regardless how you feel, whether you are worthy of God's love or not, God loves you. The word great, Greek word, says abundance, beyond what can be counted. Okay, sometimes great is, okay, great. But God's love for us is beyond what can be counted. It's abundant. And this word love in Greek is called agape love, which is unconditional love. It doesn't matter what you do or what you didn't do. It doesn't change how much God loves you. Today, some of you are here. It is not by accident. Maybe some of you are far away from God. You have been away from community, God's community for a long time. And somehow you ended up here today because God loves you. Unconditional love. And He wants to reconnect. He wants to bring you into His arms. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Say, made us alive. God has made each and every one of us alive. The story of the lepers, they were destined for death, but because of the good news that they found, they were alive. I was spiritually dead. I wasn't born in a Christian home. I was spiritually dead, although I come from a fairly comfortable family, fairly decent family, but there was an emptiness in my soul. There was an emptiness in my spirit. I didn't know what it was until I realized that that emptiness, that void can only be filled by the love of God, by a relationship with our Creator, with a relationship with God. So God's great love made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our sins. It is by grace you have been saved. Say, by grace. That is good news, guys. That God has made us alive by grace. Grace is receiving something we do not deserve. Grace is receiving something that we do not earn. The lepers receiving the breakthrough, the freedom that they did not earn. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Max Lucado once said, a writer, he says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us scientists, a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a savior. You know, when God died on the cross, when he extended grace to each and every one of us, with that grace comes forgiveness. Why is forgiveness powerful? Because forgiveness, perfect broken relationships. You know, if you're married here, husband and wife relationship, or parent and children relationship, or friends, or business partner relationship, when like any relationship, there is bound to be offense, and relationship are strained, relationship are broken in some cases. But what could restore the relationship? It is forgiveness. Right? If you're married here, you would know, right? The first one to say, sorry, I am sorry. It's so difficult to say, I'm sorry. Especially when you're married, right? And I always say the three most powerful words before marriage is, I love you. The three most powerful words after marriage is, I am sorry. Not, I am hungry, what's for dinner? Okay, I am sorry. And when you say, I am sorry, the walls of hostility, the walls comes down. Because forgiveness heals and perfects and restores broken relationships. So when God grant us that forgiveness on the cross, guess what? He, by grace, extend that forgiveness so that when we receive that through faith, that our relationship with God is restored. These are real issues, isn't it? We all go through some of these things in our lives, some more than the other. Fear, doubt. We live in a world that is full of fear and anxiety. We feel unworthy as well. Unworthiness, condemnation that potentially cripple us. Fear cripple us from living the life that God wants us to live. Spiritual void, like myself. Insecurity, like myself. We all go through insecurity, and pride it's hand in hand. Addiction to all kinds of things. Substances, drinking, pornography, games, addiction, unforgiveness. This is a big, big thing. Unforgiveness is a lot of us, we hold on to offenses for years. And we allow the offense to stumble us. We allow the offense to eat us and rob us of that joy. And we hold on to that unforgiveness. Shame, hurt, guilt, hopelessness. The question is, how long do you want to stay there? How long do you want to stay in that place? Lepers say, if we stay here, we die. If you go back, we die. Christ has given us. Extend that forgiveness, that freedom. Paul says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Say victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord that has given us the victory. Easter, why we sing, why we celebrate, why we worship God is because of what Christ has done on the cross. It is event. It is not a myth. It is not a legend. It is a fact. An event so significant that happened that not just split time into two, but changed the path of eternity for so many of us. John, if Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that's why all the people, they were willing, open to share their story because they have been set free. Shame and guilt and past and addiction, anger no longer has a hold over them, that they can be free and they can tell others about it, about what God has done in their lives. You know, in this church, we are big in helping you to relate to God. And some of you, maybe you feel that you're open to know about God, but you don't know where to start. Or some of you have friends who are in that category. Maybe you have been away from church a long time, and maybe you kind of have some exposure to Christianity, but you don't really know who this Jesus is. And in this church, we run 2 to 3 times a year. This is a casual platform to discover, how do you relate to God? How do you know this God who loves you and wants to relate with you? I run this Discovery God session. So if you have friends who are open, you consider yourself not a churchgoer, you don't consider yourself a Christian, this is a platform for you that you can ask all kinds of questions. And we will talk about this God who loves us and God who wants to relate to us. The next one is coming up in May. Okay, 8 and 15 of May is a 2-session online session. Feel free to scan and to sign up for this. As I bring this to a close, this is potentially the most quoted and the most mentioned Bible verse between the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, Matthew was writing for the Jews. Mark and Luke was writing for the Romans, for the Gentiles. But John was writing to the world. John was writing to us. When John wrote this in his life just before he died, in about 90 AD, when he wrote this, he had the world. He says, how can I? He was the last of the apostles, of the original disciples of Christ. He was the last man standing. And he thought to himself, how can I write the gospel so that when people picked up this gospel, this letter — gospel means good news — they would know this Christ. And that's why he wrote the book of John. And in John chapter 3, he wrote this, summarizes this. It says, for God so loved the world. The motivation of God is love, not fear. Not an insecure God who wants people to worship God. No. But for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, not behaves, not do good things, not pray more, but whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. To sum it up, God loved, so he gave. We believe, so we receive. By grace, God gave. By faith, we receive. And now, today, even as I bring this Easter series to a close, I want us maybe to stand to our feet. I want to pray for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to invite all of us to close our eyes. If you have been a churchgoer, you consider yourself a believer, a disciple of Christ, I want you to thank God. I want us to begin to thank God for what he has done. And we don't want to be like the earlier part of the lepers, when they go from tent to tent, just taking and taking and taking. You know, as believers, as we have received this good news, we don't want to just go from 10 to 10 to 10. It means we don't want to just go from one Christian conference to another Christian conference to another Christian concert to this Bible study and to that conference and to this study and to this church. All good stuff. But we don't want just to take for ourselves. If we have followed Christ for some time, they need to come to a realization, just like the four lepers, to come to that realization that what we are doing for ourselves is not right. It's not even not good, okay? It is not right for us to remain silent about this good news. We want to go and tell. Father, I pray, we thank you for what you have done on the cross. Oh Lord, we are forever grateful, Lord. By grace, you have given us forgiveness. By grace, you have given us your great love. By grace, you have given us this eternal relationship with you, Lord. Father, we ask for your forgiveness if we have taken that relationship for granted. We ask for your forgiveness, God, Lord, that even as your love, your great love pursued us, that we have been rejecting, we have been hiding, we have been pushing your love away. God, we ask for your forgiveness. God, we want to be found in your embrace, Lord. We want to return to your loving arms. Father, I pray, I know there are people here who potentially have been away from God, away from church for some time, and today, somehow, you are here today. I want you to know that God loves you. His great, abundant, unconditional love is still pursuing you. And I want to encourage us to receive it by grace. Don't reject it. Don't push it away. Don't say, I'm not worthy. Don't say, I'm not good enough. None of us is good enough. And that's exactly why it is by grace. It is a gift from God. Father, you know who they are. Father, I pray for your love and your Holy Spirit just begin to move, to touch their heart right now. Just like how you have touched and transformed the lives of the people in the videos. It is the same God, the same Spirit, the same love that touch and transform each and every one of us. Now, for some of us here, maybe a friend brought you here. Maybe you have been visiting a few weeks now and you don't consider yourself a Christian. You don't consider yourself a churchgoer. And today, after hearing the message, it makes sense to you. And you're saying that, yes, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus into my heart because I want to start my relationship with you. So if you are saying that, don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to lead you into a prayer. Okay, with every eye closed and heavy head bow. If you're saying that, Pastor Sean, I want to start that relationship with God. You pray along this prayer with me. I'm going to lead us into a prayer. Okay, repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for rising from the cross. I thank you for the freedom and victory. Victory over sin and death. Jesus, I invite you into my heart by faith to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Help me to love you more. Help me to know you more. And help me to tell others about you. Holy Spirit, would you work in my heart? Would you transform my life? I thank you for this good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for today. We are so humble to be here on an Easter weekend to celebrate the ultimate good news that far surpasses whatever challenges of life that we may be going through today. That we are not belittling our challenges of life, but when we look up to the heavens, when we look up to you, this good news, this victory, this love, far outweigh and far surpasses all the issues in life that we are going through. And because of that, God, we can continue to put our trust in you, oh Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. God, we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.